Last week, our reporter Laura Spurway battled through the rain to bring us an update from the International Garden during the stormy and wet midsummer weather.
So I've just got here to the International Garden. There was a burst of rain just before I arrived, so everything's looking a little bit wet and muddy, which isn't great because I decided to wear my brand new bright white sneakers today. Thankfully, I packed my lunch today in a couple of plastic bags, so seeing as there's not really anybody around, I think I'm going to have to do the unfashionable thing and put them around my sneakers. I just couldn't bear them to get dirty on their first wear out.
This week, we venture inside the science shop for the International Garden Project and discover how a handful of people are helping an ambitious idea bloom into reality. Kateri Yoakum caught up with the organiser, Bernd Assenmacher, to find out more about this special organisation.
The science shop started in the Netherlands in the 80s. It was a community between university and people who want to bring the science to the normal people. And in the end of the 80s, here in Bonn, three people start the science shop for Bonn and work as an ABM-Maßnahme. It's a social work project, and that's the beginning of the Wissenschaftsladen. After some years of the trainings, the people want to know where can I work, so they developed the newspaper, and after time more and more people buy it, and so we got enough money to make us independent.
Let's talk a little bit about the International Garden Project. Can you tell us how that started, how the idea for that started?
Yes, in 1998 starts the first project like this in Göttingen, Interkulturelle Garten Göttingen. And we heard in the beginning of 2000 about this and think maybe it's a nice project. And then we go to the city of Bonn and ask them if it's possible to get land for such a project. And the politician parties decided in 2003 that this is okay. And then we wait and wait, and end of 2005, we become area. It's in the neighborhood of a part of city with very social, low people, with low social background. This area was very, with trees, and so we have to look to clean this area. And this we've done in the end of 2006. And with the beginning of 2007, we start to make gardens there.
I can imagine that it was a bit more difficult than that. How did you convince politicians to give up a piece of quite nice land for free? I mean, there was an overgrown city nursery there, but if I've been, you know, in the garden, you're overlooking the mountains. It's quite nice up there. How did you convince them to do that?
Political history. The area about this is near in the city, and the last large area with no buildings. And a lot of communities said, oh, we have to save this because the people want to go walking with their dogs, and it's necessary for good air in the city that we don't build up their houses. The two different parties, FDP and the Greens, were strong against. And in the 19th, they become the parties of Greens and Socialists. And they are very often for projects like this.
Then you've got the land, but just having the land doesn't make a garden, right? I mean, getting a free piece of land, how does that pay your rent?
It's a lot of work for us, and the three persons here in the Wissenschaftsladen, it's a little bit hobby. We're not getting money for this project. Some money by the LOS project from the 10,000 euros. And we've got from another project 5,000 euros too. But the head of the Wissenschaftsladen, Theo Bühler, is like me. We like gardens and say, oh, it's a nice project and it's a nice place. And okay, then we have to do for nothing. And maybe we get some other project financiers. And yes, it's necessary to get money for a little garden house and for a playground for the children. And so that is not possible without money. And so it's more important to get the money for these things.
Bernd Assenmacher from the Science Shop for the International Garden Project.